Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's right.
Jay Dill and Dr. Lamar.
Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, 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 hey.
Two wise women. Jay Dill.
Yeah.
Two wise women.
You know
Dr. Lamar. Two wise women. You better pay attention.
Good morning, and welcome to the show. We are Two Wise Women. I am Jay Dia of You Are Worthy.
And I am Dr. Lamar with the Wise Inc.
Yay! And we are here to educate and illuminate topics that have to do with relationships, sex, money, and love. Today's topic is about men and marriage. But before we jump into our topic, I have a question that I want to put forth to our callers. And also, I definitely want the men to chime in and respond to this. But a lot of times, as women, we have so much financially accomplished. We have the educational credentials. We have the car. We do the vacations. And we find ourselves by ourselves. And as women, we're always wondering, like, why? Why is it like this? And we come up with the conclusion that the reason it's the way it is because men are intimidated by all of this, by all of our success, all of our accomplishments. And so I'm just wondering, is this true for you men? Like, are you all intimidated by our success and our accomplishment and our how cultured we are and our ability to speak on fine wine and dining and having traveled to not just the Caribbean, but to other countries? Like, enlighten us right now. Like, what do you think? And callers, we do have a men panel this morning. I forgot to say that. We have Earth from the Four Elements. And we also have a regular caller on. His name is Jordan, and he's from Seattle, Washington. So I'm going to stop talking so that you two men can respond to that. Are you all intimidated? And really speak from your own experience, because you can't speak for every man, because there probably are a couple men who are intimidated. But are you all intimidated by all the accolades that a woman has?
This is Earth. Absolutely not. For me, what a woman has acquired, whether it's education or some type of material wealth, for me it has absolutely no bearing on whether or not I would approach her or not. It just doesn't. That's not a consideration for me when I see a woman. So with that being said, that definitely wouldn't cause me to be intimidated, because it's not a consideration for me. I don't think about that when I meet a woman. That's the last thing on my mind, like her educational background and her whatever material wealth or, you know, whatever she's accumulated over whatever period of time. That's not a consideration.
I concur with that. This is Jordan. My thing is, when you the only thing about that is, when you're with a woman, or if you meet a woman and she kind of wears it like a badge of honor, like, more or less, she's swinging it in your face. So, you know, she may have a master's and you may have an associate's, and, you know, and it's the way she swings it at you. Now, you know, as a man, me personally, you know, I'm up for the challenge, but, you know, I could see where brothers, you know, may feel like, you know, she may be uppity or she may, you know, be sadity or, you know, what have you. So that's where I could see where, you know, a brother may not more or less feel intimidated, but may feel like, you know, why bother? So, and I'm just coming from a, you know, a lesser perspective, you know, to the first brother that I was just talking.
So what I'm hearing is, go ahead, Earth.
No, I was just gonna comment on what Jordan said. I mean, he's absolutely correct. I've actually gone out with women who have sort of worn that, like their accomplishments and who they are is like a badge of honor. And it's interesting, and this is not my favorite thing to do, so I just always like to just be who I am in all instances. And when I've dated women like that, I just had to exert more masculinity than they were exerting, and then that squashed all of that. All of that, you know, leading with this and, you know, like they're better than because they've accomplished whatever they've accomplished. Who cares about that? And just go ahead.
But when you're doing that, Earth, you know, so now you're up. It's like a ping pong effect. So now you're up for a fight, you know, rather for, you know, whatever. But you're up for, and that's really not. That's not part of the come on process, you mm-hmm. know, for certain brothers, you know. So I'm gonna sit here and we're gonna, you know, bump chest, you know, and you're trying to get your swag on, and you know, it's not sexy, you know what I mean? You know, if I'm sitting there and I'm at a dinner table with a woman and I'm saying, okay, you know, this is what I did or this is what I do and this is where I'm from, and she throws in, well, I'm the president. Okay, that's cool, baby girl. I you know, I get that. But then that's when she starts to, you know, magnify the situation. And that's when it's a turnoff, you know. But as a brother like me being me, you know, I sit there and I, you know, take it and I, you know, applaud whatever, you know, accomplishments you may have, but at the same time, you know, she'll go into what I call like a mandingo mode, you know, and then just, you know, magnify the whole situation. And that's where certain brothers may feel like, you know, man, this chick is a ditty or this chick is, you know, and I'm not saying it happened to me, but I'm just saying I'm coming from, you know, the other perspectives or other percentage of brothers who may feel like that. You know what I mean?
Well, oh, yeah, absolutely. I get that.
So I want to jump in on this conversation. And for callers, if you want to join in and put your comment on, press 1. That one of the things that as women that we do, we look at what's valued. And in society, what's valued is accomplishment, your ability to be productive. And so we are showing you how much value we have. Like, all right, this is what I got. These are all the things that I've accomplished. And don't you want me? Don't that make me the cream of the crop, the pick? You should now pick me because of all of these accomplishments. And because when we're in corporate America, that's what we are graded on, promoted on. We get the raise based upon how accomplished we are, how effective we are toward producing the result, goal-oriented, and so and how independent we are and our ability to direct and lead. And so, of course, we feel that this should make us valuable to you in a relationship. And so what I'm hearing is that you all are not looking at that. Or you're saying, well, great, that's wonderful, but that's not the thing that has you want to couple up with us. It's the, what I hear Jordan say, is the sexiness. And I think somewhere in there we've lost that, that we don't realize. Or we bring too much sexiness, because then too much sexiness is all about sex. But what I'm really getting is that maybe what's missing is our heart, like us being vulnerable, like that element is that degree of independence is not a turn on. Like you don't want a needy woman, but at the same time you don't want someone who doesn't need you. It's like that middle ground. Is that correct?
Well, I'll say this. I think as it relates to accomplishment, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, J.D., because you're a woman, so you can see it from your perspective. And I'm going to say it from a man's perspective, like when women come with those with all of their accomplishments, that may be important within a circle of females. But within mm-hmm. a circle of men, we don't look at each other based upon what we accomplished. Most men have friends from every background you can imagine, from a financial and educational perspective. My friends cover the gamut, and I don't look at any of my friends any greater or any less than the other. Some of my friends make hundreds of thousands, even a couple of friends make $1 million a year, and I have friends that, you know, there's around 20,000-30,000 a year, and I look at them all the same. And when we get together, nobody's like, oh, I make this much, oh, I make that much, oh, I do this, or I'm an engineer, or whatever. That never comes up in the conversation as it relates to how we get along and how we socialize. So, you know, when you mentioned that, you know, from a corporate perspective, that's one context. That context of corporate America does not exist within the social construct in which men interact with each other, because we don't see each other that way. I mean, I'll say for me and my circle of friends, I'm sure there are men out there that do, so I'm not speaking for all men, but we don't see each other from that perspective at all. So when women are coming, leading with their accolades and all the things that they've accomplished, they're, in my opinion, they're actually leading from a masculine perspective based upon who they would select as a man and what they see as being attractive for them. And so they actually become what they would be attracted to in a man. And they lead with that as though that's going to turn us on, but it's turning them on. They're actually turning themselves on.
So let me jump in right here. You just said a mouthful, Earth, and I want to get some clarification. Is it true or false? And again, this is a general statement, that men determine their success by their career. That's why a lot of times men don't like to get married until they feel like they've, you know, gotten where they wanted to be as it relates to their career. So are men? Is it true that men determine their success by their careers? Because I do know that men are competitive by nature. And, I don't know if that conversation happens with you and your peers, from the ones that are making 20 to the ones that are making, you know, millions or 100,000. But is that ever a conversation that you guys are having separate from the social outings? Because it would seem like to me that would be not an issue or a negative issue or jealousy or anything like that, but it's kind of like, you know, what can I do, you know, to get on the same level, or what can I do? So, you know, and I don't want to say that I can compete for better women, but what is it that I can do so that I can make sure that I'm looking commodity, so that I can be a commodity when it comes to dating women, because there are a lot of women that are go-getters and that are making their own money.
Well,
for me,
go ahead. No, you got it.
Well, for me, it just depends on what situation you're in. You know, we all come up different. You know, so the circle of friends that we have or the environment that we're in, it's all different. You know, so if you're in a silver spoon situation, you know, you're taught, you know, to go to college, you know, have your career, don't have sex before you get married, you know, those type of things. So if you're in that sort of environment, fine. If you're in an environment where, you know, you're athletic or whatever, it just all depends on what dream you're chasing and what you're trying to do or accomplish. I don't think, for me, I don't think men would, if it happens, you know, if a family happens and, you know, at a certain point now, if you're 22, 23, you're not trying to get married or hit. So at a certain point, you're just trying to live life. But I don't think a career would stand in the way to most men. You know, that's just me. To most men, from, you know, starting a family and doing those things, because most times it just happens. So, you know, I just think that all of that is, to me, is just situational. When you're you know, comparing who's who and what's what, because women themselves, we're on a female topic, but women, when they're looking for people like that, I think, especially somebody that's super successful, they're trying to, I don't think they're going to reach down in the barrel. I think they're going to reach up, you know, and if they're reaching up, they're in their environment. So if you're in corporate America and you have, say, a vice president, I don't think she's going to go down and meet the supervisor on the front line. She's going to go either vice president, her peers, or then go up to the director or president or CEO. And that's where the problem exists right there, is that I don't think successful women would reach back. And if they reach back, they're reaching back with just something, you know, isolated. But to have a future, they're going to reach up. So I don't think, you know, that they'll go with the common man, the, you know, the postal guy or the supervisor at the call center. They're going to go to somebody, you know, that have or has already, and then go forward from there, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Earth, do you want to chime in? And then I'm going to move us on to another topic.
Yeah, just really quick. I mean, that was very well stated, of Jordan. And I'd just like to add, as it relates to dating down, realistically, and I can just speak for myself, if I use the criteria that I hear most women use as it relates to dating, then I wouldn't date. There'd be very few women that I could date. Because for me, I end up from, if I use the criteria that women use, I date down all the time, because I've only dated two women who have made as much or more money than I make. Most of the women I date, I make 2 to 3 times more than they make from a financial perspective. So if I use women's criteria, regardless of how successful women claim to be, I would actually not date. My dating pool would be very, 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 very small.
And I think
okay. That's
why for us, and I'm going to speak for the African-American community, I think that's why our dating pool is very small, is the criteria that we have. And I like what you said, Earth, about what a woman leads with is the things that she wants in a man. So it's like, and it was funny when you said that she's also turning herself on as she's talking about all of her accolades. But you're right, is that there is this financial, like when we are accomplished, we're expect and want the same thing, and I think we don't also look at the other aspects of a relationship. Like, that makes us picture perfect, but it doesn't make us happy.
You just hit the hammer on the nail.
Yeah, it doesn't, because I haven't really made sure that this man is interested in making me happy. He's interested in providing and protecting. But he looks great on paper. My friends are like, wow, girl, you got a catch. My parents, my mother especially, she's happy. She got something that she can brag about. But at the end of the day, he's not loving me in my love language, and he's not interested. Like, if you don't, if he's acts of service and I'm words of affirmation, his thing is, you better get with the program. I am loving you versus, oh, baby, let me tell you how much I love you because I realize you are words of affirmation. So that was awesome. So I want to lead into, and Dr. Lamar, did you want to chime in something or?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to say, I know you spoke for African-American people. I think African-American women date down a lot. Because if you all look at, you know, the number of African-American men graduating from college, it's African-American women are graduating 3 to 4 times more than African-American men. And, J.D., you hit it on the head. I do think once we understand what it is that we need, we don't have a problem with dating down. And when I say dating down, I'm just saying someone that may not be equal as it relates to your educational level and or your yearly income. So I do think that we date down. But like I mentioned, once we know what it is that we need, some of the other things kind of fall in place. And that was very interesting how you mentioned, Earth, that we lead by the things that we want. And I totally agree to that. But another thing is, and I want to say this, and I'll, you know, turn it back over to Jadea, and all cultures, other than this African-American culture, men are the primary providers. They make the most money. We African-Americans are one of the few cultures that the women are leading financially. And so there is some shift. So it's normal in every other culture, other than African-American culture, that the men make the most money. And I believe that's where that shift happened, because our expectation sometimes with some women are the same as they are in other ethnic communities and or cultures. So it creates this division, because where in other cultures you do have men making the money, and it's unspoken. It's not unusual. It's not uncommon. But within our community, it's not common, or it is unusual for the man to be the primary provider. And I'm talking about majority, because there are some men that are primary providers in their home. So I just kind of want to throw that out there. And that creates a shift. And I believe, I feel, well, in my experience, both professional and personal, there can be a disconnect when needs haven't been communicated about who's making the most, what the money goes towards, how do we divvy out the money, how the bills are paid. I do think when you don't have that conversation, there is a disconnect within the relationship. But those are my two cents. I just want to throw that out there.
Okay, well, you were going to say something, Earth?
Yes, I'm
got a burning desire
frantically
within you, right?
Looking up. I was actually reading somewhere about a year ago or so that this guy has this book, and it's about myths of the African American community. That's not the name of the book, or the book or documentary, one or two. But nevertheless, and like one of the myths is that African American women make more than African American men, and he was saying that's a myth, and I'm frantically, like, online right now looking up his data. And he said the data is actually misreported. But anyway,
okay.
I just want to, when I come across it, I'll actually cite exactly where it is. But go ahead.
Okay. So we're not going to get, we'll leave that, because that would be a very interesting topic. But let me get into the meat of our conversation, but that has been very interesting. We stayed on this question much longer than I thought we would. So And callers, if you want to chime in, press 1. But the thing that I also want, and Dr. Lamar, you led into it, which is marriage, because I think that as African-American women, we will date someone who we think don't have the same level of accomplishments as we do. But I'm wondering, are we marrying these people? But I'm wondering if there's something that's getting in the way of us marrying these men that we are dating. And I say, from my research, things that men are paying attention to that had him choose us to be the one. In other words, men are looking for a need central. And what that means is that there's this person, this one person that he can get his need from. And because men are single focused, what it does is it allows for efficiency and productivity. If what I need, I can get at one place. And there are 4 default things that men are paying attention to. And the first one I say is food. Now, this is what my research has shown me. Food. Food is one of the things that men are looking for, unless he's been on his own for a very long time. And it shows up like this. Where is dinner? I'm hungry. What's for dinner? Or what are you cooking? And even women are aware of this default. Like, I normally say I don't cook. I know how to cook, but I'm not a cooker. And I usually let men know that because even I know instinctively that that's going to be a conversation where men are looking to see if they can get that need met. And it can be met in different ways, but that's just like a default, like he's paying attention to that. So now, Jordan and Earth, what do you have to say about that, that you're paying attention? And when I say need, let me give the definition of need also. Need is, the way that I'm using it is it's necessary. It's a requirement or an urgent want. So that's how I'm defining the word need, because some people will go, well, survival. Well, of course, food is a survival need, but I just want to throw out that clarification in terms of definition of need. So now, Earth and Jordan, what do you say? And it's storming here, boy. What do you say about the food need?
Well, it's not high on my priority list. I mean, if a woman can cook, you know, that's just the added bonus. I mean, you know, if she absolutely don't know how to cook, you know, it's not going to be a deal breaker for me. It's somewhat there. It's not like a high criteria, you know, in my search, you know, for a female companion. So, you know, if she can cook, that's good. I don't want to get fat anyway, you know. So, you know, that's not really a high criteria on my list as far as, you know, if she can cook. You know, the whole thing is if she can do other things that's, you know, more, you know, prominent in what we are trying to accomplish. But cooking is not something that, you know, that's very high on my list.
And I'll say for me, cooking is, I mean, I love a woman that can cook. That's great. But it's not an expectation that I have because I meet very few women who can cook. I'm not, when I say cook, I'm not talking about, oh, I can make spaghetti. I mean, who can throw down, who can, like, really cook? Like, you know, my mom, my grandmother, my aunt. That's what I mean. When I say cooking, that's what I mean by cook. So
that's Sunday dinner.
Right. I don't have that expectation because very seldom do I meet a woman that can cook. You know, most women I meet, they can't cook. They're more interested in their careers than cooking.
Wow. Yeah.
I think Jordan and Earth made some really good points, but it goes back to, you know, the individual man. And I know you all are giving your personal experiences, but some men, like you just mentioned, Earth, about the cooking piece, some men may prefer a woman that can cook a real good Sunday dinner. Some men may prefer a woman that can just cook the things that he needs or that he likes. And then one of my girlfriends was talking about this the other day, whereas food definitely is a requirement for survival. And I feel, you know, that a man may not want or require his wife or lady or girlfriend to be able to cook a Sunday meal, but for there to be some type of nourishment, be it agreed upon that he do most of the cooking, but there has to be some agreement to who's going to do what. And if food is something that he's needing, then it is very important for that woman to be able to buy that, whatever it is, be it spaghetti or be it some collard greens and cornbread and, you know, black eyed peas.
Macaroni and cheese.
I think it's important. Macaroni and cheese, that's my husband talking about. Anyway. and so guess what? I've mastered how to make his macaroni and cheese just the way that he likes it. And so that is a need. Now, I don't know if he would leave me if I couldn't have, but I do think that it's very important for me to be able to provide to him the things that he needs when it comes to food. So I think that was a very important and critical point, guys. And I want to say this. We have a lot of callers on the line. If you all have any questions, any comments, please, please, please press 1 and we'll get you into the queue and get your question or comment.
Thank you for that, Dr. Lamar. And I agree. What I've been noticing is that, and even with my research, if a man has been living on his own for a while, that he's not looking for that, or as Erica said, he meets so many women who are focused on their careers that food is not there. But if you can provide, or if you can show that you're willing to prepare the things that he enjoys eating, or you stock the food in your refrigerator, because I meet a lot of men who mm-hmm. want to cook, and I stock my refrigerator with the things that I know they like to cook, so thereby when we're hanging out and having fun, he looks in the freezer to see what's there to cook that. And I usually tend to buy what he likes because I'm kind of flexible when it comes to eating. Or if it's even the chips and the soda, and if he drinks a particular type of beer or wine or even liquor, that it all falls in the food domain. It doesn't matter if it's healthy and nutritious. He's just looking at, is it here? Like, can I get this from her? Is it the second thing that men are paying attention to is attention. And this is how it shows up, is that he commands the attention. And I usually like to share the story of when I used to have my office in my home, and my dad was, I had a mother-in-law suite in the back, and my dad was staying there, and he would just walk into my office, and I got the phone clearly to my ear, and he would just start talking. And I would say, Daddy, I'm on the phone. And he would go, oh, and keep talking. It's that attention. And here's the thing that I've noticed with women. We don't really know how much attention a man will need. And we're looking to get married, and we're very busy. And a man will even say to us, because I've had this happen, he'll say, so what do you do? And I'll tell him all the things that I'm doing, and he go, wow, you're busy. Translation, I won't have
too busy
time
for me.
Him. Mm-hmm. Translation, I can't provide him the attention that he himself knows that he's going to need. And I did have one brother say to me, I require a lot of attention. You are way too busy for what I need. And, of course, I'm upset. Like, I can prioritize. But, no, a man wouldn't want to change a woman. Like, that wouldn't occur to him to have a conversation with me while we're dating, that is. That he will assess the situation because that's what he's doing. He's assessing the situation. to see if he's going to get that need met. So, Jordan and Earth, what do you say about the attention piece?
Before you said something about it, I would have said, well, I don't need that much attention at all. But really, I do, because I like partnership. And partnership requires a lot of interaction, or a degree of interaction, so which entails leads to attention. So, yeah, I just like partnership, and for me, partnership is, you know, collaborating, working together to accomplish or to reach whatever goal, you know, we're out to reach, whether it's having our relationship look a certain way from a romantic perspective, from an economic perspective, from a social perspective, from a spiritual perspective. I like partnership, so which to me requires attention on both parts.
Yeah, attention for me is definitely higher than the food thing. Attention is definitely something that's required, because if you're not paying attention, then there's no relationship. There's no, you know, no communication. There's, you know, nothing. So attention is definitely important, because if you even turn the tables, if I'm not paying attention to you, you know, you're going to get, you know, agitated or upset or whiny or, you know, whatever you want to call it. So I think attention in a relationship on both sides is definitely, you know, highly required between the two people. You know, as far as, you know, just even, you know, when you first meet each other, you know, you go through that what I call a Google Gaga stage, you know, where, you know, you can't get enough of each other. You know, you hang up first. No, you hang up first. All right, the same time, you know. So, you know, attention is there. Once that, if that's, it only becomes a factor is when you're in a relationship, and then as time go by, that starts to lessen, you know, and then you just have to learn how to get it back. But in a relationship, you know, above, among other things, attention is definitely important in any relationship, marriage, situation, whatever you want to call it. It's definitely there. That could be a deal breaker in most relationships. So, yeah, attention is, for me, is very important.
And you said something. Give me 1 second, Dr. Lamar. You said something very important, Jordan, when you said in the beginning. Because in the beginning, you're right, people are giving all this attention. And then when the relationship has been established and the attention goes away, because what I've observed is that in a relationship with a woman, if something is, if she's doing something and it's weaving out the attention that the man will get or has been getting or need, he will fight back. He will fight back for that attention. He will become demanding. If it's your job, if it's the extra day working out at the gym, whatever it is, he'll start complaining about it. He'll attack it. So I just wanted to throw that in. Dr. Lamar?
Yeah, I think attention is like the pinnacle, the crescendo of relationship. And I teach this with wives and also with women. And people look when I say this, and I don't want the men to just jump up or turn green, turn into the Hulk. Men are, and women too, but men are very, 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 two more varies, but I won't say them. They're very needy, and that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. That's how they were created. They were created to receive help, and not to go too biblical, but they were created to receive help. It's not that ladies need so much help, but men need help, and I say that and give an example. Especially married women can attest to this, I think, most. But if your husband has a pinky, say he sprained his pinky, He can't walk. He can't see. He can't eat. He needs help with everything. It's like, baby, can you bathe me? Well, did you break your leg or did you break your arm? It's just your pinky, and it's not even a real sprain. So men are very needy, and I try to teach women that if you don't have the time to give, be mindful of getting into a relationship. And I know JD mentioned that men need attention, and attention can look like different things. And I'll say support, affirming your man, your relationship, your spouse, and also believing in their goal. Because a man typically or should be the head, then that means he has vision for the family, respecting his authority and respecting his plan for the family and not necessarily going against it, because I think that can cause that could cause separation. So when I hear the words attention, that's what my mind goes to. It's just not attention where we sit down watching TV, holding hands, or attention where we're just going to the movie. When I think about attention, I just think about support. I think about affirming. I think about believing in his goal. I think about when he gets sick, you just got to turn into a nurse. Just go ahead and get you a white dress, some shit, what you need, and just go ahead and turn into a nurse. So those are some of the things that I think about when I hear attention with men.
Okay. Thank you. Well said. Do you want to add something on to that, or?
Yeah, she said something that was interesting, like, you know, how, you know, it said that men should be the head. And I have a friend who is a social anthropologist, and she said, based upon historical research, the women actually play a pivotal role in communities, in cultures, and in marriages as being the head, based upon living out their femininity or their feminine self, meaning that women will be the head as it relates to, you know, women are the doctors of the family, because you know, like you said earlier, if a man sprains his finger, he can't see, he can't walk, you know, but the woman comes and she nurtures. Men aren't necessarily the head of that. And generally, in cultures, women actually design the culture and men build it based upon the woman's design. Now, unfortunately, like, we live within a culture now where that didn't take place, because, you know, you had European men who were here first, so they built the culture. They didn't bring their women with them. But when you look around the world, that fact actually exists. Women design it, and men build it.
That's
based
deep.
Upon the woman's design.
That's deep. I gotta use that one. That's deep.
but you know what that is. But I wanted to be clear. I want to be clear. And we have a caller actually on the line. But I wanted to bring this out here just for clarification. What you're saying, I do agree with, Earth. But at the same time, there's headship, like. And I don't want to say that this is how most houses are, but there's headship depending on the role. For instance, I am the head of the home, meaning but my husband is the head of the family. And we come together with decisions, but the ultimate decision is up to him, because he's responsible for the family. He is responsible for me. He's responsible for my son. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have any responsibility and that I don't have any say, but he is the CEO of the household. Now, I'm the VP, and what I say means a lot, and I do most of the work, because y'all do know the VP do most of the work. But what I'm saying is, within that structure, there has to be one person. There has to be that chief, and so that's kind of what I'm saying. But I know I just said a lot. I want to take this caller. We have someone calling in.
Go ahead.
With the last four digits, 2418. Caller, I would like for you to state your name, where you're calling from, and your question and or comment.
You have the mic.
Okay, this is Monica Hales, and I am calling from Chattanooga.
Well, good morning, and thank you for being on the call.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. I just wanted to add a comment as far as attention. And like Dr. Lamar said, men were made to receive help and attention. But when we look at it as women, a lot of women think, okay, I don't have time for this. I'll make mm-hmm. time to give you attention. You have to think about it as if you have a son, because every woman does not have a son. But when your son hurt himself, you're going to run. You know, it is your husband or your mate that tells you, okay, no, let him be tough or whatever. But it is in you. Your instincts are to automatically run and see what he's doing. Or if he's done something well, you run to congratulate or let him know how proud you are. When we look at our men, we have to think the same way. Men sometimes grow up receiving this attention from their mom. Some don't. So there's a lack even when they switch over to a relationship, whether they received it or whether they did not. And I know this based on experience of dealing with, you know, several people who've received it. They crave it more, and they will, you know, kind of get up like the Incredible Hulk. Wait a minute, I just did something and you didn't notice it. And the ones who didn't receive it, you know, they you know, they're kind of fearful, but they still crave it. Like, okay, she didn't notice I cut my mm-hmm. hair. Mm-hmm. So basically we have to, you know, see this as, you know, not a duty, but I need to congratulate my man, because if I don't, somebody else will. And that little attention will get pulled away from it. So we have to look at attention as one of the key things. And it's to me, it's number one. Okay. And I just wanted to, well, you know, say that. I just wanted to say attention is on both sides. It's number one, because if we're not paying attention to each other, there are always, you know, others that are, and it gets magnified when you're not at home.
Thank you for that. I lost my train of thought. Go ahead, Dr. Lamar.
I just want to say that was good. I really like what she mentioned about providing that need and that attention. This is the thing, and this is how I look at it. If a need is not being met in a relationship, and that's coming from a man or a woman, it creates this thirst. And you guys know how you get when you get thirsty. If you're thirsty, you'll drink from anybody's cup. So it is very, very, very important to make sure as men and women that we're meeting the needs of our spouse. And I'm going to say this. I was laying in bed last night, and I was reading this book, and I was telling my husband something, and I mentioned what I just mentioned to you guys. That's why I was going to bring it up today, that if a need is not being met, it creates – and whenever there's a thirst, you want to quench that thirst. And then my husband said to me, "Ooh, I need to make sure I meet your needs." And I just bust out laughing. He's like, "Because I don't want you out here in these streets thirsty." And so what you said, Ms. Monika, was a very good point. But let's go, Ms. J.B. What do you have to say?
Okay. And I love what you said. But and here's the thing that we're talking about, ladies. When a man is choosing, these are the things that he's looking for, he's paying attention to, because he wants to get this from one person. He doesn't want to get it from different people. There are things that I need, and I have a bunch of girlfriends, and I know which ones I can go to and get what from. But a man is being efficient and productive, and he's looking at, these are the things that are essential to my well-being, like just to be all right. Not to be the next level, but just to be all right. And so that attention is very important, because if you notice, men tend not to make friends as they get older. Like the friends that they have tend to be those high school friends, those childhood friends, those college or work friends. But after that, rarely do men go out and make new friends, but women are always making new friends. I just wanted to throw that piece in. And you're right, Dr. Lamar. Thank you, Ms. Monika, for your comment. That was right on point. The third thing that men are paying attention to, and this is not going to come as a surprise to women or men, is sex. And
that's,
I can just leave it at that. But here's the thing. That's not the first thing they're paying attention to, because we all know men don't marry the best sex they ever had. They do need these other things, because they can get all the sex and they're not getting their attention. But we think sex is attention. It's just a certain type of attention. But here's the thing that we don't realize is that as that when we use sex as a trading tool, because that's what women do, we strategize and we use sex as trade. And because we're strategic about sex, we think men are the same way. And I'm putting forth that for men, sex is all about pleasure and fun. And they can't imagine anyone getting hurt from sex. And they don't realize when we get hurt, when we say, well, I should have waited a little longer. And in their mind, that's being strategic. Like, why would you want to wait when you know you want to do it? And they don't understand that what we're really saying is what I needed to be sexually involved with you did not get fulfilled. And so now I'm feeling hurt in you. In other words, we're not saying, I want to have sex with you. My body is craving you. But there are some things that I need to make sure that are in place first before I go there. For me, it's emotional connection. And what that emotional connection will look like for different women is different things. But for me, I need to know that you're going to like me after this is over with. You're going to be willing to call me the next couple of days. Call or text. Email something, but stay in contact with me and tell me that you still like me. And pull me to you in the middle of the night. Like, these are some of the things that I need. I need that. And so if you know that you're ready to provide that, and not with an attitude, but that you want to provide that because that makes me happy and that makes me feel good about doing this and want to do it again with you and again, then we are. And I think because we've been taught as women that what we have between our leg is a commodity, like what you have between your leg is valuable. Like we're really taught that our sex is way more valuable than who we are as individuals. Like what I have between my head has way more value than what I have between my legs. Now, I'm not saying that some women don't get that, but I'm just saying that's the message that we give to our young women, to people, period. Wow, you had sex with him so soon? Well, you know, what type of woman are you? But the other thing, and then I'm going to let the men speak on this because we're running out of time. But I say women like sex, but I say men need sex. And
absolutely.
I say women like to fuck, and I say men need to fuck. Because this is a grown Ooh. Show, PG-13, and I say men need sex. Men have an urgency to have sex more so than women. Okay. Earth and Jordan, what are your comments on that mouthful that I just said?
This is Earth. I'm just sitting here cracking up.
Okay.
Me too.
I don't know if it's absolutely true that men need sex. Because it may be just my Ooh. Definition or the way that I view a need. Like, I need water. If I don't have water, there's an ill effect. I'm going to die. I need food. If I don't have food, there is a price to pay for not having food. I'm going to die. Sex is, for me, more on the desire side than on the need side. It may feel like I need it. Like if I don't get it, something's going to happen. But the reality is, it's more than desire. Like it's something I strongly desire. You know, but for instance, I don't necessarily strongly desire to drink water, even though that's pretty much all I drink, unless I'm like extremely thirsty, then I have this insatiable desire for water. But like for sex, it's more on the desire side as opposed to like I have something I have to have, or if I don't get it, then there's going to be a catastrophe. No.
Okay, even if you're in a committed relationship.
Hold on, Dr. Lamar. I want Jordan to jump in and give his response because we are down to 5 minutes. So, Jordan, what's your reply to the sex question?
Well, I agree with the brother. I think it's more out of a desire than a need. And that's just statistically with across the board. You know, you coming up, you know, as young brothers, you know, we try to get as many women as possible, you know, or at least I did, you know. And I tried to conquer. You know, I tried to conquer as much land as I possibly could. And so I had a real estate company, you know what I mean? you know, I really tried to do it. And it wasn't out of a need. It was just a desire, you know. And, you know, between me and the brothers, you know, and we, you know, who did you do it with last night? Or did you have her last night? And if you flip that, a woman can't really get away with that without having that, you know, that tag, you know, against her. You know, she can't go out there. And so for us, it's more of a desire, you know. Like, I desire to be with Halle Berry. I desire to be with, you know, Stacey Dash, you know. And if I could have them both at the same time, you know, that would be a major accomplishment in my life, you know. But for a female, they can't really get away with that. They can't say they want Tyson Beckford and such and such at the same time. So there's different levels of, you know, desires and needs. So I know
okay.
We've got like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then here's the thing, and Dr. Lamar, I definitely want you to ask that question. I'm saying a need is a necessity, a requirement, an urgent want. So you all are throwing in the word desire, but I'm still saying it's a need. And the question that you were going to put out there, Dr. Lamar, was?
It was even if you're in a committed relationship. I'm thinking if you're in a committed relationship, then sex is something that is critical because that creates partnership. And it also creates a connection. It's very difficult to connect without that important piece. But like J.D. mentioned, we're getting down to the wire, and we have a few minutes left. This has been a phenomenal show. I'm so grateful and thankful for all of the callers and the panel and the caller that actually called in and asked a question. But I'm going to kind of move on, Ms. J.D.
Okay. Let me just throw this last thing out there so that the listeners will be complete, because I said there are four things, and then we're going to close out the show. I said that men are also paying attention to finding things. They need us to find things. Men have track vision, and women have scan vision. And so we can go in a room and scan and see where things are out of place. And so it's not unusual for them to say, honey, have you seen mine? Honey, where is mine? Even if you're not even home, they will call you. And that's that. So those are the four pieces. But let's close this out. Dr. Lamar, I think you have a retreat that's coming up soon. You want to share that?
Absolutely. I have a retreat coming up right now, ladies. We are full. However, we do have a waiting list. And so if you all are interested, it'll be a retreat, a three-day tonight in North Georgia, July the 24th, 25th, and 26th. The fee is very inexpensive. So if anybody on the call would like to join us in this retreat, it's going to be awesome, phenomenal. We'll have a trained chef. She'll be there cooking. So if anybody is interested, give me a call, 404-585-0867, 404-585-0867. Thank you.
Thank you. And so we want to close out by saying, if you want more information about us, visit our website. I am at youareworthy.org, and Dr. Lamar is at thewivesinc.com, or you can follow us on Twitter. I am at Jadea Jackson. That's J-A-I-D-E-I Jackson. And Dr. Lamar is at thewivesinc. And you can also friend us on Facebook. I am You Are Worthy on Facebook, and Dr. Lamar is The Wives, Inc. We want to thank you for listening to the show. This show is strictly for educational and informational purposes. It is not therapy and thereby should not be considered a substitute for professional counseling. If you're having difficulties in your life and need to speak with someone, please contact Behavior Healthline at 800-715-4225. All right, Dr. Lamar, take us out.
Thank you.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's right.
J-Dill.